Hi, David. It's good to have you back this year.
Great to be here.
The killing of Alex Pretty and Renee Good before that, they were shot and killed at what looked like point-blank range. When you saw those pictures from multiple angles being beamed around the world, what was your reaction?
Oh, it was a gut punch. It was horrifying to see that on the streets of America or anywhere in the world. I mean, these were effectively public executions and truly shocking. These are two innocent people caught up in Donald Trump's draconian hardline crackdown on immigration and law and order. I think it illustrated that immigration and customs enforcement, ICE, and also the Border Patrol are undertrained and overly aggressive for these operations. They've been described as, you know, lawless bands of goons, militias almost, moving around the streets, roughing people up, dragging pregnant women out of buildings, arresting children. It's really been a kind of campaign on terror that we never thought we would see in the United States. And yeah, a sign of a kind of dystopia.
And you hear about people in Minnesota afraid to go out now because they don't want to get caught up in it, whether they have legitimate papers or not. You've been writing about the dangers of the return of Donald Trump. Is this your worst fears realized in a way?
I think so. I mean, we've just marked the first anniversary of Trump coming back to office for his second term. And I remember in the weeks prior to that, there were a lot of predictions of he'll bring authoritarianism to America, or he'll certainly try. And there'll be, this time there'll be fewer democratic guardrails reining him in and fewer career professionals to put a check and balance on him. And there'll be more loyalists really enforcing his will with zeal and in all sorts of ways over the past year that has been manifest. But perhaps there's nothing quite so visceral and palpable as actually seeing the thuggish behavior on the streets targeting both U.S. citizens and immigrants and really inflicting terror on them. So it kind of is the worst case scenario that many people warned about coming to bear.
It was the reaction from the White House on these deaths that also seemed to really shift things almost in an Orwellian way. I mean, Pretty was called a domestic terrorist.
That's right. Part of this story is about controlling the message. And there definitely are echoes of 1984 in what the Trump administration has been doing. And first with the killing of Renee Good, a poet, a mother in Minneapolis. And of course, in that incident, she was in her car. She was approached by officers. All the video evidence suggests to me she was trying to drive off to avoid confrontation, but she was shot dead in that vehicle. The Trump administration was very quick to try and frame its narrative around her being a domestic terrorist. And as videos emerged, there was much skepticism about that, and as we learned more about her. And then just as there was a hope perhaps that wound is gradually healing, the bandage was ripped off again about 2 weeks later with the killing of Alex Pretty. This one, if anything, perhaps even more explicit, as we saw the videos come in of what had happened to him. You know, he was just holding a camera, a phone, trying to video immigration enforcement activity, but he was bundled to the ground and basically shot in cold blood. And yet, you know, within 2 or 3 hours, the likes of Stephen Miller, White House Deputy Chief of Staff, were describing him as a would-be assassin, domestic terrorist, and so on. Kristi Noem, Homeland Security Secretary, making similar statements. And yeah, you can see there is now a well-rehearsed operation to distort reality, create their own reality, their own narrative.
To paint the victims as victims.
That's right. It's victim blaming and always trying to defend the government enforcers and basically do Donald Trump's bidding.
There's a real bravery from the people at the scene, the protesters who are filming from all angles. That's why we know what's happened.
Yeah, I think something interesting is happening there. Democratic politicians have actively encouraged residents of Minneapolis to film these incidents on their phones. And so we're seeing a huge amount of footage, not just these two incidents, but plenty of others as well. It's all about documenting it, both for the moment and for its history. And I've heard it argued persuasively that in the René Good case, there was just about enough wiggle room for the administration to continue its lies. And people like Vice President J.D. Vance did so vehemently. And there was just a little bit of openness for interpretation. With the Alex Pretty one, really not so. It was vividly clear to everyone from so many different angles that, you know, he'd been caught up in this and was a victim of immigration enforcement, abuse of human rights with fatal consequences. And it remains to be seen just how much of an inflection point, how pivotal this is. But you actually saw Donald Trump's reality rewriting machine hit a wall. It was no longer working, this idea that we can tell you not to believe your eyes. We can tell you our version of events, as we've seen with Kellyanne Conway's alternative facts and with the January 6th insurrection. There was so much video footage that it really seemed to break through with the public, even with Trump supporters, even with Republicans, that this would not stand. And so you did actually see Trump forced to do at least a partial climb down on this and not push it. And the likes of Stephen Miller with their hasty judgments were actually caught out this time.
You said it remains to be seen, but what do you think? Is this a turning point? Is the killing of Pretty, has it crossed a line and become a watershed moment from America?
I'm always hesitant to say that because we've spent much of the past decade describing things as watershed moments and nothing will ever be the same again and this pivotal and, you know, a few weeks later everyone's forgotten it and we're on to the next crisis. Certainly it's fascinating that we have spent that decade also decrying technology and social media for putting us into our silos and the mobile phone as a social evil that's polarized society. And yet here, the mobile phone was actually the savior, and it was all these witnesses filming this incident that could actually shatter the Trump mythology and that narrative. It'll be interesting to see, you know, the next time there's an incident like this, will they still try to lie about it, or will they be wary of those cameras watching? And it did feel that weekend that this could spiral further, and you had people talking about, is America on the brink of civil war or some great conflagration? And again, Trump did seem to back away from that somewhat. So I think the fear was he would again just dig in and be even tougher and even harder. And instead, there was a series of statements and steps that seemed to back away. So it may not be a fundamental turning point, just very hard to predict.
I'm going to have to think more about that social media paradox you've just described. But you're talking about the president perhaps changing tact. He suggested he would de-escalate that immigration crackdown. Is that what's happening in Minnesota right now?
Yeah, I mean, despite everything I've just said, I don't want to sound too Pollyanna-ish about this and suggest Trump has suddenly surrendered or is beating a retreat. And there's plenty of reasons to be skeptical about that. It is true there was a tonal shift. He talked about productive conversations he had with Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, and Jacob Frey, the mayor of Minneapolis. They're both Democrats, and just days earlier, he had been extremely hostile to them. He indicated a willingness to withdraw at least some of the federal agents from the ground in Minnesota, and it appears Gregory Bovino, the commander of border security, is leaving. He had become the kind of real villain of the piece of this particularly thuggish figure. But this is all relative, because instead we're getting Tom Homan, the border czar, and people's initial response is, oh, isn't this great? Tom Homan's going in. He's so moderate by comparison. I mean, Tom Homan is no moderate. He has been the architect of much of this immigration crackdown so far. And that's just typical of the way Trump does tend to move the Overton window, that somebody who a year ago seemed like a total extremist, now you're kind of grateful, oh, at least it's them. You know, it's the kind of, you know, at least it's not Hitler sort of argument. You know, the bar is set extremely low. And even, you know, in the last few hours or the last day, Trump's already been having a go at the mayor again. So I think we should remain skeptical watch the evidence. You know, is there really a climb down here? Is there really a shift? But there are some indicators that it's that it kind of makes sense that Trump would not want to pursue this too hard, because he could see the polls, how bad this is for him. He was getting a lot of calls from Republicans over the weekend expressing alarm. This had gone too far even for them. They're very worried about their seats in Congress. Of course, we have midterm elections in November. And also, I think on a more profound level, you know, Donald Trump is a creature of television. That's how he rose to fame on The Apprentice. He's very well tuned into what's running on the evening news and the cable news, probably more than his younger staff are. And he would have seen the absolutely terrible optics of this, with that footage being played on a constant loop. So I think he's sensitive enough to public opinion to know it's time to wind this down.
He's good at sniffing the populist winds, but it sounds like those immigration raids are still continuing. We're not going to see a wholesale withdrawal of ICE
right
just yet from that state.
Yes, exactly. So, certainly not wholesale yet. I think, as far as we can tell, that will continue. We're one flashpoint, one incident away from all of this flaring up again. And of course, let's not forget, ICE is operating in other cities as well, and they may just decide to move on with the real aggressive tactics elsewhere.
We'll be right back.